With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
The only way you can take ESPN Rochester with you is the radio.com app. Download it today and listen to us anytime, anywhere. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
Like Christmas morning for football fans. The schedule is being released bit by bit. The official release tonight at 8 o'clock. But to break down what we know so far, USA Today's Bradley Gelber, the Bills Wire, joining us here on the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. Brad, thanks for making some time for us this afternoon.
Yeah, hey guys, thanks for having me.
Brad, I mean, I'm just kind of mesmerized just watching all these Twitter feeds, but if we're to believe these reports right now, at Jets, at Giants, and what do you think of the Cincinnati Bengals week three as a home opener, Brad?
Yeah, guys, I almost missed your call because seconds before I saw Manish update that the Bills are going to have their home opener versus the Bengals, so I was in the process of tweeting that, and then I saw you guys. I remembered, oh, I gotta take this call real quick. So I'm glad I was able to make the call. But yeah, you know, this is it's a fun day for fans, and you know, obviously I think the NFL would prefer that the schedules remain anonymous until their big debut for 2 hours tonight on TV at 8 p.m. but unfortunately that's not the way the world works anymore with social media and whatnot. So as you guys have kind of said, we found out a little over, it seems, if the reports are true, it's from trustworthy reporters and whatnot, that we have over half the schedule already with, you know, less than 5 hours to go here.
Well, Bradley, I mean, do you think the NFL really, I mean, if the NFL wanted to prevent this, they could prevent this, right? I mean, like, this is great for the NFL because here we are, you know, 5 hours. This is the pregame of their schedule release. We're talking about it all day.
Right. And to be fair, we don't know all the times. We don't know the days. We don't know, you know, all the primetime games and whatnot. So this is a nice little way to tease it, as you said. But, you know, I think that we've seen quite a few big sporting events get schedules and whatnot be kind of, you know, ruined, quote unquote, in advance over the last few weeks, whether it was the women's NCAA tournament or, you know, some of these other ones. So I think it's all about hyping up the tonight. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see the timing of all these because, like I said, we don't really know that at this point. I've seen some of them are 1 p.m. games, which are obviously normal for the Bills. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see if they get any primetime games this season because I haven't seen anything about that at this point yet.
Where do you come down on how this opens up? Because Danger's point here being that, well, okay, you're on the road, but it's the Jets. It's a team that's picking in the top 10. It's the Giants. It's a team that's picking in the top 10. Now we know it's the Bengals. You get the Bengals at home. That's a nice, winnable game. Brad, this team had better be minimum 2-1 heading into that week 4 game against New England.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. And that's the thing is they're opening 2 on the road, which is not, you know, probably ideal from, at least from a fan's perspective. They'd probably like to get that first game in Buffalo there, but it's a little odd that you would have back-to-back games, you know, in New Jersey facing the Jets and the Giants to start things off, but they need to split those right there, so they have to get a win there if, you know, or else things are in trouble right off the bat if they're 0-2, but as you said, that should be a winnable game week three, and going into a New England game, you always have to assume that that's, you know, if, you know, I don't want to say it's a loss automatically, but you don't want to go into that thing 1-2 or 0-3 because then you're in big trouble. So I think for sure, as you said, they gotta try and at least be 2-1 heading into that week 4 game there versus New England.
You have a second year quarterback in Josh Allen, and you have a team in the Jets that, you know, listen, when they came to Buffalo last year, that was a competitive game. The Bills also spanking the Jets in the Meadowlands. I mean, definitely a winnable game, but how important is it going to be, Brad, for Josh Allen in his second year to get that confidence, to gain that momentum earlier on? I mean, the way this is shaking out, at least these first 3 weeks with three teams that, you know, the Bills should be able to compete with, if not beat entirely, you know, that's got to help Josh Allen immensely. The schedule makers are doing the Bills a favor here with these first 3 weeks.
Yeah, and I mean, and he gets to face his good buddy Sam Darnold week one, you know, at the Jets there. And I've seen them together quite a bit this offseason, and then they're good friends. So that's a rivalry, I think, that they're both going to want to get that first win to open the season. And, you know, if Eli's still the quarterback there with the Giants, which all signs point to him being for now at least, you know, that's at this point in his career, that's a guy that, you know, you want to face. So I think that, yeah, that's something for Josh that I think he needs to get started, as you said, quickly and kind of get his confidence built up. And if they can be, you know, 2-1, 3-0 going into New England or going in to face New England at home, at least for that first game here, you know, versus Tom Brady, that would give, I think, Josh and the Bills all the confidence in the world, at least to, you know, like I said, you don't want to be going into that game in a must-win situation in week four. You want to, you know, go in there feeling confident and good about it right off the start.
Brad DeGelber writes for the USA Today Bills Wire as we're piecing together the Bills schedule here on the fly. Our guest in the sports bar. So Patriots at home week four, unknown right now weeks five and six. Week seven, you get Miami home, unknown weeks 8 and 9. And then you have at least two games on the road here in November. Week 10, which is November 10th, at Cleveland. Week 17 at Miami. Now, the Cleveland game to me is interesting, Brad, because, well, it's not only who you play, but when you play that team. And I would think that there's a lot of enthusiasm. In fact, I know there's a lot of enthusiasm in Cleveland right now. And I'm wondering if things start to go bad in Cleveland, it might be better to, rather than play them in September, play them in November.
Yeah, I mean, that's a perfect point there, because obviously going into the season, I don't know if you could think of a hotter team in terms of preseason kind of just hype than the Browns, in terms of them bringing in Odell Beckham Jr. and obviously coming off of kind of their year last year, building upon, you know, some horrible years there in Cleveland. So I think playing them off the bat is not as ideal as you mentioned, possibly later on in the season if things aren't going quite as they had hoped. And at that point, you know, maybe, you know, a guy like Baker Mayfield, who's still young, while he played, had a great rookie year, I'm sure there's going to be some ups and downs in his second pro year. So I think that's, you know, a good time. And, you know, they have to go on the road, so that's always not as ideal. But I think that, you know, it's a little later on in the season, and then they get to go down to Miami the week after. So, you know, those games are always competitive. And this year the Dolphins have been picked, you know, repeatedly pretty much to be, you know, the worst team in the NFL, one of the worst, if not, and all talks of them tanking and whatnot. So, you know, that could be a two kind of back-to-back wins there for the Bills if they're able to beat the Browns in Cleveland and then go down to Miami and get that win. So, you know, it's going to be interesting tonight when the full schedule, or if prior to that we know the whole schedule, to kind of really see, you know, coming off of these games and when the bye week falls and whatnot. But, again, some winnable games, at least at this point, that we're seeing on the schedule here.
Bradley, let's talk about Dallas. There, we know that the Bills will play at Dallas. We also heard reports a while ago, actually, that the Dolphins would be the opponent for Dallas on Thanksgiving. But there is a chance, the way this schedule is being leaked right now, that the Bills could be Dallas's opponent on Thanksgiving. What are you hearing about that?
Yeah, it's interesting because I believe the Sports Business Journal published a report last week that said Dallas was supposed to play another team on Thanksgiving. But since then, I haven't seen a follow-up on that. So originally, that would obviously not mean the Bills. But, you know, if that would be, you know, talk about, you know, getting an interesting game to play Dallas, who always seems to play on Thanksgiving for the Bills. You know, I don't know how I feel about that exactly. I think I would rather play Dallas on, you know, a quiet non-holiday game there to try and get that win there. But, you know, it'd be fun for the fans. It'd be kind of an extra layer to that matchup. And I know for a guy like Cole Beasley that, you know, hasn't had the smoothest exit since leaving Dallas, that's going to be probably a game he circles on the schedule there. So, For him, at least, you'd think that, you know, a Thanksgiving matchup versus the Cowboys would be a fun one there. But it's interesting that as we kind of narrow down the schedule here, that that's still a possibility. And I'm interested to see what ends up happening there.
As we know, the Denver Broncos, as I'm going to pass along a couple other notes, the Broncos are going to open up at Oakland on Monday Night Football. So that's going to be the super late game as they're going to do the doubleheader. And the Browns are going to open up at home against the Tennessee Titans week one. And we already knew the Browns would be playing week two Monday Night Football at the Jets. Our guest Bradley Gelber, USA Today's Bills Wire. The Patriots at New England week 16. I mean, is this Groundhog Day again here, Matt? Or Brad, I guess at some point, though, they're going to have to, if you're going to want to win the AFC East, that's when you got to do it. You have to slay the dragon. And I'm totally fine with going to New England again on week 16 because they're not going to win this division forever and ever and ever.
Yeah, I hear you, but I don't know. I think that, you know, I might rather have that be a home game at that point. But, you know, as we know, they're going to play in Buffalo week four. So, yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying, and that's 100% true. But until the Bills show that they're ready and they can do it, it does. I don't think anyone wants to go to New England and have to play the Patriots, especially at that point in the season. But it would certainly be a good test for them if they are in playoff contention or if the division is still up for grabs or a wild card spot or what have you at that point. You know, it would really, you know, that's the type of game that you go into New England and you beat Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, and it kind of helps you prepare for what the playoffs are going to be like. Because, look, we know they made the playoffs the season before last, and they were eliminated in the first awful game versus Jacksonville. So that's not really, shouldn't be the goal, is just to get there. It should be to get there and make a run. So if they're going to do that, they're, as you said, they're going to have to beat teams like New England. So it's a good test. But, you know, as a person who wants to see the Bills succeed, I wouldn't necessarily wish that upon them. But it'll certainly be an interesting test at that point if they're still in contention towards the end of the season there.
Bradley, this is the last day that NFL teams have the opportunity to meet with college prospects before the draft a week from tomorrow night. And we know that Ed Oliver is in Buffalo today meeting with the Bills. What do you know about Ed Oliver meeting with the Bills today, the final day that the Bills are able to meet with anybody? They're meeting with the guy that a lot of people have the Bills taking at 9. First of all, do you think he will be there at 9, or are the Bills enamored with him enough that they would actually trade up to try and get Ed Oliver earlier in the first round?
Yeah, I mean, from what I'm reading and seeing it, it looks like Ed Oliver's stock is sort of rising close to the draft here. And we all know, if you've kind of done any sort of draft research or watched anything or listened to anything, that he's been a hot name for a while, especially linked to the Bills here. Explosive player, you know, a guy that can disrupt an offense, and that's kind of, you know, what the Bills have been lacking a bit. He's a little bit undersized in terms of your prototypical defensive tackle for the NFL, but he kind of makes up with it for his playmaking ability. So from what I've been reading from guys that cover the draft and do a great job, seems like his stock is on the rise, so he might not be there at 9 when the Bills pick. But, you know, as Brandon Bean has kind of alluded to, I don't think they're afraid to go after their guy. So if he really is their guy, and they feel so strongly that he is kind of the difference maker they're looking for, you know, they have the assets to make a move if they think they need to move up and go after a guy like him. But I don't necessarily see them, you know, panicking in that regard. I think that Dean's been very forthright about them wanting to, you know, take the best player available. And he just said the other day he doesn't feel there's any glaring weaknesses on this roster and that allows them to take the best player available. So, you know, I know both the Iowa tight ends have been linked to the Bills a lot lately as well. And, you know, so we'll see what happens. But I definitely think that he was a guy that you assumed they'd have in to visit. And I believe Debo Samuel, the wide receiver for sorry, I'm blanking on the team that he played for, but he, another wide receiver there in the college ranks, he is in today, Buffalo as well, according to a couple different people here. So it seems like they're having a few guys in here at the end to kind of wrap up the pre-draft visits. And, you know, it's always interesting to look back, though, and kind of compare how many. Obviously, they have 30 visits. They can't draft 30 players. So how many of the 30, if any, you know, are the ones they end up taking, and how many of them are more, you know, quote-unquote smoke screens? And Bean just said the other day, interestingly enough, that sometimes they actually use pre-draft visits as a way to evaluate players that they may, A, face later on in the season that get drafted by other teams, or B, that become free agents at a later point, or that they may want to trade for at a later point on in their careers. It gives them kind of a little bit more insight into the player and the person that they can't necessarily find out once they're drafted by another team. So I thought that was some interesting insight from being there as well on how do they utilize these pre-draft visits.
Yeah, and knowing that the Jets visited with Oliver recently as well, and are picking ahead of the Bills, I mean, there's a real possibility that a team like the Jets could take him in advance of the Bills being able to pick him at 9, and now you've got a little bit of intel on what kind of a player and what kind of a guy Oliver is. It makes all the sense in the world to take advantage of all those pre-draft visits.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that's something I think that the Bills, as well as looking at teams that might be interested, as we know, quarterback is always the position that teams in need of a quarterback, like the Miami Dolphins or like some of these other teams where the Bills were last year, that are anxious or think that the guy they want that can make that ultimate difference for them is going to get taken. And those are the teams, if you are looking to move back, which the Bills have been talked about, possibly that's something that they could be interested in doing. Those are the teams sometimes you can identify as the ones that are willing to kind of give up more assets in order to move up and get that guy, because we know quarterback is, you know, the most important position. So I think that, you know, Bean and the rest of the front office there will do a good job identifying that. But, you know, as we get closer and closer to the draft, I'm sure we'll hear more and more rumors that'll pop up over this next week or so. But I guess that's what makes it such an exciting time of year for football fans.
Bradley Gelber from the Bills Wire USA Today is our guest. The big story in the NFL this week, without a doubt, was the Russell Wilson contract and the deadline and everything along. He got paid, but how would the Bills tie into this? Well, I'll ask you the question. I mean, the Seahawks can't pay everyone. Namely, will they be able to pay Frank Clark? That was kind of a storyline from back in the winter that just got left hanging. Bradley, what are the odds that you think Frank Clark might get dealt, and could the Bills be in on the defensive end?
Yeah, that's something actually I mentioned yesterday when I was, you know, once the whole Russell Wilson thing went down, it's, you know, well, what's going to happen to Frank Clark? And I know he tweeted last night, they lied to me was all he said on Twitter. So that got quite a bit of attention just because, you know, that's the assumption is he's talking about the Seahawks there. But, you know, I don't think anything's out of the realm of possibility. And, you know, according to a few different people, they believed, or at least they were told, that packages for Clark would start with a second round pick. So, you know, that's something I guess that a team like the Bills, who is in need of a defensive end, that some help over there that they haven't totally addressed yet, would make sense that they would inquire about that. I don't know if that's something that the Bills would be willing to give up to get him. Obviously, he's a very good player, and I would hope that they investigate every good player that's available. But, you know, at the end of the day, as you said, they can't pay everyone, and that's with the money they just gave Russell Wilson. I think that's a credit to a good point to make, that that's why it's so important to maximize a rookie contract for a quarterback. So a guy like Josh Allen, who's locked in on a rookie deal, these are the years where you build up around him with your cap space and your assets, because once, you know, you hope that the quarterback plays well enough to get that big contract, but then you got to pay the guy. So that's, you know, the back and forth there. And I think that that's why it's important to not waste these years on a rookie deal. We used to always talk about, you know, give a quarterback time to develop, and I still believe that to be true, but the league has changed in that these guys are kind of thrown into the fire right away. So, you know, but to your point, I think that that's a guy that the Bills should certainly look into, and if they feel that the value is there, and the Seahawks are willing to trade a player of that magnitude, then by all means, you know, address a need. And that, again, leaves you even more opportunity to take the best player available when it comes time to for the draft.
Bradley Galber, the Bills Wire, USA Today, joining us in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. And Brad, you're always gracious with your time to join us. I want to make sure you have plenty of time to tell our listeners what you're working on here with the schedule being released today and, of course, the draft just a week from tomorrow night.
Yeah, so just draft watch right now is the focus, and obviously is draft watch schedule release watch right now, and then draft coming up next week, so that'll be our primary focus over at the Bills Wire, and you can find us there through the USA Today network, and I'm on Twitter at Bradley Galber, so I usually post my work over there, and as always, I appreciate you guys having me on and then talking some football today.
Love it, Brent. Keep up the good work, and we'll catch up soon.
Thanks, guys. Enjoy your afternoon.
You too. Bradley Galber, USA Today. You can read his work, The Bills Wire, in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia here on ESPN Rochester.
Let me just reset here for folks that might just be tuning in, because we're keeping the composite list for the Bills schedule, and these are all credible reports, okay? At the Jets week one, at the Giants week two, the home opener is going to be the Bengals week three, and then you get the Patriots week four. We don't know 5 and 6. We know Miami is coming to Buffalo week 7. We don't know 8 and 9. We know the Bills go week 10 to Cleveland on November the 10th. And then November the 11th, they go to Miami. That's on, November 17th, they go to Miami. 12, 13, 14, 15, we don't know. We know the Bills finish up the schedule like this. Again, I think it's the third straight year the Bills play at New England week 16. And then the final game will be against the Jets. So the Bills have a Jets bookended schedule in 2019.
I love how the schedule's shaping up, though. But you can't be upset at the first quarter of the season. If you're of the belief that momentum matters, the psychology of momentum, if you're a young quarterback in your second year and you need to get some wind in your sails, winnable games, albeit on the road, against the Jets, the Giants, and then your home opener against the Bengals, it's a pretty good scenario for the Buffalo Bills. Now you get the Patriots week four. Okay.
Yeah.
But if you're 2-1, through 3 weeks with the Patriots coming in week four, that game's a lot more interesting. It's a lot more competitive to me.
My initial thought, how good is the Bills' run defense going to be? Because you have Le'Veon Bell and Saquon Barkley weeks 1 and 2. All right. That's.
I don't know if you know this about Le'Veon Bell, but the word on the street is he's a patient runner.
Is so, he?
Yeah. If you're able. Yeah. If you just kind of. Just recognize going in that he can be patient. He waits for holes to develop. He's a patient runner. That will be week 1. And then, Saquon. I mean, please. Oof. Good luck. Good luck. Holy hell.
Can we get bad? Well, at least at that point, they're still playing Eli, right? You would think.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Well, that's what's interesting about all of this, too, is we're looking at the schedule now. Will our thoughts on the schedule change after next weekend, right? Like, not next week, this weekend, but next weekend after the draft is over.
I mean, if all things are equal and you see Le'Veon Bell and Saquon Barkley weeks 1 and 2, like, wow, gosh, we do need help on the defensive line. Is that going to tip the scales on that?
Well, yeah.
Those games are important. I look at this right now. In no way should the Buffalo Bills have a losing record coming out of week 3. If you get the Bengals at home week 3 and you split on the road weeks 1 and 2, and by the way, by splitting on the road, that means you're losing to either the Jets or the Giants.
Yeah, minimum 2-1, right? You
gotta
be a minimum of
2-1.
Minimum of 2-1 going into the New England game. All right, we'll continue to share what develops here with the release of the schedule officially being released at 8 o'clock tonight by the NFL.
I feel like who's the Raiders GM, Mike Mayock?
Oh. You're enjoying this a little too much, Gene. Yeah. Is that what's going on here? Oh yeah, folks.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, folks.
Oh, come on. It's June.
We need that one. Is there anybody like it?
All right, let's take a break. I'll drink to that is coming up. Gene's going to have a cigarette. I'll drink to that. Some takes on tap in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. I understand fully now, Gene, why you had such a problem yesterday with Russell Wilson announcing that he had a new contract while laying in bed with his wife, Sierra. And it was right in front of us. And you know, like, I understand why I have a problem with it, too.
Okay.
We'll get into that.
I am going to do something I thought I would never do. And this is not tongue-in-cheek, I can promise you. I don't want to say I'm going back on my word, but something I have never done here in the sports bar. I will address this, come clean. And one of the most guys we've kicked around here in Western Europe, Tim Murray ended up being right. Tim Murray is right.
Yeah, bringing up Robin Leonard, I mean, seeing him do what he has done this season and through the first round of the playoffs, I can't help but think what he was when he was here and if he was a product of the environment in Buffalo. I'll explain what I mean with that as well. I'll drink to that. Some takes on tap. You're always welcome to join us here on the Sports Bar at 454-ESPN, 454-3776. Stand by. I'll drink to that next in the Sports Bar. Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
Rochester's most listened to sports station invites you into the locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Our little tribe of super fans, sports junkies, and competitive degenerates. Join now for breaking news updates, free tickets and prizes, game highlights, player and expert interviews, and unprecedented access to the best that ESPN Rochester has to offer. The locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Free to join and packed with action. From AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.